Welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, we have Marianne McGurty-Sieber back from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. She is a product safety investigator, and you're on all the time, so why am I even bothering introducing you? But here we are, we're a warm weather time again.
Finally.
Finally. Let's get started first with the elevator speech. What is the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, we're a federal regulatory agency. We regulate consumer products. So I think it's the easiest way to kind of give an example is think about everything you touch from the time you get up in the morning, a coffee maker, a hair dryer. Often, you know, consumers will say, oh, you're the agency that does the recall on the children's products. You're right, we do. And then more often, that's the recall that may get the attention. And, you know, people will see in the news. But we do anywhere from 250 to 450 recalls every year. So in addition to safety alerts that we may come out to advise consumers about a particular hazard we may see, and also talking about some of the stuff we're going to talk about a little bit later in terms of outdoor safety and seasonal, such as summertime and going outdoors and how can we keep ourselves and our family safe as we're doing our activities throughout the summer.
And so let's get started. So what's the news since we last spoke? I noted one thing that the U.S. has been working more closely with Mexico and Canada on your product. Testing.
Yes.
And I don't know if you touched upon testing just now, but that's very important to your organization. You test things.
Absolutely. We work actually cooperatively with a number of nations across the world. And ultimately, the goal here, of course, is having products in the market that are safe for consumers. Of course, with Canada and Mexico, they are our neighboring countries. We also work with many other countries to come up with sort of cooperative agreements. I always talk about when consumers, you know, if you have a computer today, very often if you're making a purchase and you're not doing it in the brick and mortar store, you're doing it online, you're sitting at your computer. And, you know, we then realize if we made that purchase that, you know, the product that we just purchased was not from a, you know, from a company here in the U.S., but from outside. Any manufacturer outside of the U.S. that wants to sell to a consumer here in the United States has to abide by our federal regulations. So that you know, as you are sitting there at your computer making that purchase or through your iPhone, looking at, you know, something and you realize that, hey, this is the best option, but it comes from another country. Know that anything that any company is selling to you is under the CPSC regulations. When the changes come about, they're where maybe you go to another country, you go on vacation. Maybe your family regularly returns back to, you know, where your parents are from, where your grandparents are from. Each country has their own regulations in terms of product safety, and that's where, as you mentioned, we look to our neighboring countries and other countries to begin cooperative agreements, to talk about what it is, you know, that we regulate, why we regulate, what testing we do. But know that if you are in another country and you're making a purchase of any consumer product, sometimes we focus a lot on toys, but really any consumer product, it is under that country in which you're making that purchase where the government regulations would be. So it's a little bit of caution just to, you know, let consumers know, not so much a buyer beware, but at least be aware that if you're making the purchase here in the U.S., it's under our, you know, regulations as opposed to being outside of the United States.
So that amazing mug that you pick up in some remote village and you bring home, it could be made of anything and glazed with anything.
Correct.
And you don't test until somebody complains. Is that the deal?
Well, the way the CPSC is set up is that we are not set up in terms of testing all products prior to going to market.
I don't think you could.
Yeah, exactly. We actually regulate 15,000 different types of products. So given that number, it seems to kind of further give the example of the number of products that are out there in terms of looking at what's available. However, there are a number of different avenues in which we do conduct testing. We have a lab that's located nearby our headquarters in Maryland, where we do conduct testing for a number of different products, any number of different issues that may be coming about. Perhaps there's a certain trend that we're beginning to see in the marketplace that we then look at, or we see the introduction, say, of a new product or a new design of a certain, you know, in a like a feature in a certain product where it's a certain shuttle valve. So we then look at those products. We also, you know, as you and I mentioned prior to the show, are interested in putting out as much information as possible to any manufacturers that are out there, providing guidance, you know, sitting down, talking about, providing, you know, reading material, proper information as to maybe how a business gets started, what regulations, okay, you're selling XYZ product, these are the regulations that you should be most interested in, and sort of providing some guidance along the way to interpret and answer any questions that, you know, a company may have as to, you know, what does this mean to me? How can I sell my product safely?
When you talked about recalls and the 200, 450, you know, in a given year, well, but that doesn't talk about the history, because once something is recalled, you keep track of all of those recalls plus all of the remedies as well.
Exactly.
So there are thousands listed at your website. We're going to talk about your website in a minute or two. But one of the things that surprised me, because before you ever come in here, I always sit down and I look to see, ooh, what's the latest thing trending? And tip overs are still big.
Yes. Overall, what we really recommend for consumers who have children and they have any type of furniture in the child's, be it starting from the nursery to the, when they're toddlers, is we recommend that that piece of furniture be secured to the wall. And more often than not, you have begun to see in the last several years where manufacturers are, you know, when you're taking that product out of the box, be it assembled or it needs assembled to be assembled, there is a attachment. So if this is the case where perhaps you were not aware or don't know how, or how do I secure it on there, what's the best place on the wall to do it, you know, seek out someone, perhaps a handyman or someone else within your family that can give you a hand. The recent recall that you were alluding to was a company called South Shore Furniture that recently recalled a chest of drawers. This was due to, of course, as you mentioned, tip over and also entrapment hazards. What we have found over the years as we have conducted these is that they are unstable if they're not anchored to the wall. And these that can pose a serious tip-over and entrapment hazard. What happens is that the furniture is in the room. If it is not secured to the wall, there's any number of things that, you know, we put on top of the furniture, be it whether it's a television or toys or any number of things. And that child will then, you know, perhaps pull out drawers and make them begin to use them as steps as they, you know, get to that final destination of reaching, you know, whatever it is on top of there. And as those drawers are coming out and they're stepping onto them, that's then where you realize that the furniture is not stable because it's not secure against the wall. So then it can come down. And you can be talking about, you know, a fairly large piece of furniture, given the size of a child and their abilities in which to pull themselves up out of a situation. And whether you can hear, you know, actually hear that piece of furniture fall. So the best bet for all families with younger children is to securely fasten that particular, you know, furniture within your child's room. And we also talk about, too, through CPSC's Anchor It campaign, flat screen TVs. They have become very large over the years. You know, sometimes we're buying them that are 40, 45, 50, 55 inches or more for our homes, and not properly securing them, maybe putting them on a table that's just not wide enough to really secure it. Best bet there is, again, the same thing. When you're making that flat screen purchase, right alongside usually is the anchoring materials that you need to put it onto the wall, put it nice and high in a child's bedroom. Again, if you have any questions, you know, perhaps reach out to somebody to give you some assistance so that you're putting it on, you know, if you're taking the effort to go ahead and mount that, be it whether it's the piece of furniture or the television, you want to make sure that you know what you're doing secure it properly.
Yeah, they're on the walls. They're everywhere now. you had another big recall, and this one, it's a baby product that, and it was recalled at the end of April, but it was in the marketplace up until the moment of the recall. And when you're talking about baby stuff, people will be unwrapping those at baby showers through, you know, the next couple of months.
Correct. So these were actually two different recalls. One was, this was the Fisher-Price. It was called the Rock and Play. And the second was Kids 2. Also, these were rocking sleepers as well. With the Fisher-Price, there were 4.7 million that were sold at the time of the recall. And with the Kids 2, it was 694,000. The danger that occurred with these were we were finding that infants were rolling over. They were not being properly secured. Perhaps they, in some instances, the infants were over the age of 3 months. So consumers were using them maybe a little bit beyond where, you know, they should have, in terms of information and, you know, as they are designed for any type of either one of these products. CPSC recommends that you stop the use of it, after 3 months of age or as soon as the infant exhibits the ability in which to roll over. That's where the danger occurs, and once they begin to roll over, they're then repositioning themselves in these sleepers and in running into these type of hazards. So if you think that you have a Fisher-Price Rock and Play or a Kids 2 rocking sleeper, under the Kids 2 there are a good number of models, too many to list.
But they are listed,
yes,
at your website.
And that is www.cpsc.gov, G-O-V. From there, I mean, simply when you go onto the website, it is the very first thing that you see with the most recent recalls. You can scan through to get all the details. We in each of the incidences, we name the product, we say what the hazard is, then we tell you the remedy. And whether that is something that, you know, you return to the store, you contact an 800 number, and in another recall, it might be a retrofit kit. Any number of different things that can occur when a recall occurs. But again, if you have either one of these products, we recommend that you immediately stop using them. Check out CPSC's website or give us a call toll-free at our hotline number, and it's 1-800-638-2772.
Now, you just said that this was a product that you were supposed to use for birth until the time a child can roll over. When I think of a recall, I usually think it's, well, the toaster that's been miswired and that it can spontaneously combust. So we're looking at products that we're just not using properly. So it's really on a manufacturer has to anticipate us not using it the way it was intended. And also the recall follows through. Somebody who maybe had one of these, loved it until their baby was 2 months old, gifted it on to somebody else.
Right. You know, for families and, you know, you often have, especially when you're talking about you know, with children, you have something, it works. And then, you know, you're really unaware of what's the age bracket associated with these. With any type of children's product, you need to get them out of the box. You need to read the materials. Even though that you think that you may be familiar, your friend has it, your sister has it, and you're familiar, you know how it works, you know, you're good to go. But then also, too, being aware of where kids are in different age. It says 3 months. You know, maybe a particular child doesn't begin to roll over till after that time frame. That is a decision that you make as a family member, a parent, a grandparent. Or you may have a child who begins to roll over 2 months. Just being aware of, you know, this is what can occur if a child begins to roll over in this type of product. And yes, there is history. There is history when products have been recalled in reference to a misuse of a product, sometimes a misassembly of a product. We had a recall of a crib a number of years ago where we found that the sides of the crib could be misassembled. And when it was misassembled, certain slats were too wide. So you're thinking, I mean, and you're talking about a product here very often where you could have a mom or dad who has, you know, no mechanical ability whatsoever, and you're attempting to put together all of these nice gifts that you just received for the upcoming birth of your child. And you're in a rush because it turns out the baby was born early. So you're now assembling a crib in a panic situation. or perhaps not thoroughly reading the directions. We are looking at all aspects in terms of a product. When we are doing a recall, we talk with the consumers, we ask them about the directions, we ask them if they, you know, were they able to understand them. We talk with manufacturers in reference to the directions that they provide, that they're done and read and really put out in a way that consumers are able to understand it. Because again, what it comes down to is we want products that are safe for consumers.
Mm-hmm. And of course, all of this information is found at the website, and that is cpsc.gov, Consumer Product Safety Commission, cpsc.gov. And that number again, that was
800-638-2772.
And of course, today we are talking to Mary Ann McGuirty Sieber. She is a product safety investigator with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, again, cpsc.gov, for all of this information. And you alluded to it, that there's a wealth of information there at that website beyond the recalls, the retrofits. And again, if you're buying anything, you can look it up before you make the purchase, even if you're at a garage sale, wherever you may be, or if grandma is offering you that crib from Junior from 25 years ago, you can again look it up and see if there were any issues with it. But what you alluded to businesses, and we talked about it beforehand, you even have a business education class. I don't know how to describe this.
Yeah, a program. It's actually at whole. There's a connection, an office within our agency, a small business ombudsman. As I said, we're interested in providing education. It's not really meant as a gotcha. We want to educate not only consumers when they're making their purchases, but manufacturers when they're either introducing a new product or someone is beginning a new business, and they have, you know, sort of a task list, so to speak, of, you know, what is it that I have to do to begin the start of this business, to get manufacture this these products that I'm going to have, you know, am I falling under certain regulations that I need to be aware of? How can I interpret these regulations? So that person, that office within our agency is the direct link. It can provide, a wealth of information that can be a help, much like we look to an attorney or a CPA for really knowledge outside of our own, you know, wheel well, so to speak. We are looking, you know, and at least be aware of the fact that there is someone that can, and an office that can provide you guidance and information and help you to interpret. Because ultimately, we would prefer to be proactive and provide you that information in advance of, you know, that the product that is being, you know, introduced into the marketplace.
You're helping the consumers, but you're helping the startup, the small business, the mom and pop who is just beginning to produce a product, or maybe they're selling them through online or word of mouth. Any small business is still responsible for these regulations, reporting, and recalls. And I was just thrilled to see that they actually do have an office to help that the small guy get started to protect the family's business or to protect their you know, investment.
Absolutely.
Up front and know what they're doing before they sell that first product.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's really an education. If you have any questions, and maybe that's where you are right now, you can go to CPSC's website and look at it. It is www.cpsc for any number of subjects that we're talking about today, in addition to providing this type of guidance. And as you mentioned a couple of times, for consumers, the agency is over 40 years old. Every recall that we have ever done is on the website. So you can use, as you mentioned, you know, if you are at a garage sale, you're at a thrift store, you're, you know, receiving perhaps, you know, the baby's due in a couple months and you're getting some hand-me-downs. Very easy to, you know, check the website to determine, okay, this is what I received. So basically what you need in front of you is, in addition to, okay, let's say it's a stroller. So it's a stroller and it's the manufacturer and perhaps a model number. These are the basic information that you can do a quick search right under either strollers or the particular manufacturer, and then be able to scroll down and see, you know, was there a particular recall associated with this model? Okay, there is. All right, let's get the information. You call the 800 number, have the retrofit kit sent. It doesn't mean that, you know, oh, wait a minute, it's been recalled, I really shouldn't use this. Get the information, find out what it is as part of the recall, call the 800 number, whatever it is that, you know, happened in this particular recall, so that you can then use that stroller and with your child safely.
And you've been on often enough. We know that a thrift store has regulations. You're not going to have trouble there because they're complying with what they, we know what the sales there. But it is the garage sales you have to. And mom and dad and grandpa hand-me-downs that you really have to be considering in this. And bicycle helmets, safety seats, things you don't want to take secondhand because you don't know what has happened to them in the previous owner.
You've been paying attention when I've been talking.
I listen to you all this time. But, you know, it goes beyond that because, you know, you think, well, at least the sleepers are safe. And then you find out, but no, not necessarily. They may have been treated with something that we now know is unhealthy or it might be flammable. You just check everything and put your mind at rest that you've done everything you could before Junior arrives.
Absolutely, because you know what? Peace of mind. I mean, especially when you're talking about certain products that, you know, your child's in the room unattended for an extended period of time, be it whether it's the crib, whether it's the bassinet, whether they get a little bit older and it's the furniture that you have in there. You need peace of mind when you know that your child of any age is in their room unattended to... You know, put out any of these products, you know, that's really the ultimate goal for a consumer.
And speaking of peace of mind, we don't live in a bubble. And you've also got safety education centers, and that is for, and you've got neighborhood safety networks. You have a community outreach resource center where communities can join together to create a safer neighborhood with toolkits. And you do this for communities that maybe aren't getting the word. Maybe it is a second language. It's an issue. Of language, it might be of just accessibility to information.
CPSC first off offers a number of various publications and information, safety alerts, etc., under several different languages. Reaching out to through our outreach programs across the country through our CPSC employees, the agency is probably 540 people nationwide. 140 of us are of that group are in the field. So we are really the connection within our own local communities, be it whether, personally, perhaps through our church, perhaps through certain organizations, but also being aware of our state and local. We work with Department of Health, Attorney General's offices, any number of state and local organizations because, they are our eyes and ears within each state. They are the ability in which to reach out to the CPSC to say, hey, we were notified about this particular issue involving a consumer in our community, or, make us aware of perhaps it's an initiative through a local representative, through a congressman, through a senator who has a certain initiative that they bring, with them to their role as a congressman or a senator, or maybe in their own personal lives. They are parents, they are grandparents, they face the same issues that we all do. And for our, be it whether it's the local emergency room, CPSC works with about 130 some hospitals across the country through an electronic system that if you take your child to one of these hospitals, Children's Hospital here in Philadelphia is one, and the injury is a result of a consumer and product, they are taking that information down electronically and then notifying the CPSC that, over this past weekend, this family came in, it was a two-year-old, involved a bike, and this was what occurred. So, looking at all these other, groups and organizations, we rely on them. We rely on, your listeners to make us aware that should they ever have a problem associated with a consumer product, please reach out to us. Go to CPSC's website. There is something called a consumer incident report. We need basic information. So what's the product? What's the model? What's the manufacturer? What happened? Basic information for you to fill out so that we can then determine what's the next course of action.
And if you are hearing this and you are a church or a civic group or a recreation center and you want to pass on information to the kids about what is the best way to protect yourself from fire, what's the best way to keep yourself safe during the summer months when you're out on your bikes, etc., The safety education centers are there for you, and the toolkits can be downloaded and help you organize the neighborhood to spread the word about everything from safe sleep environments for baby and drowning prevention. All of that stuff is available there.
Yeah, and you know, it's great too because you think about summer camps, maybe local church groups, elementary school, preschool, you know, these materials are geared and targeted towards those, you know, age brackets where, you know, you can bring it to a certain level in terms of the message you're trying to get across. And very often, you know, these, you know, much like you see the local police that come into the grade schools and kids go home and talk to their parents about these type of things with the same concept, you know, of giving teachers, preschool, camp an opportunity, materials in front to sort of provide a message to, an audience that is going to take it home and talk to mom and dad about it.
And you know what? 2-minute warning. Summertime. I know all of this is available on your website, but what would be the word that you would give out as we are getting into summertime? Summer safety.
Yeah, I think number one would be water. Any opportunity that you have around, you know, especially with kids, we look at typically 5 and under. If you have any type of pool in your backyard, wading pool, above ground, in ground, inflatable, set up barriers, especially 5 and under. That's where the biggest problem. If you find a situation where you cannot find a child and you have water in the backyard, go there first. By the barriers, we mean fencing, at least 4 feet around, 4 sides around. Usually that's the backyard fence, at least 4 feet high. And then the 4th side becomes the house. You can get alarms that go back on the back door that let you know the child's not in the family room any longer. You can also have an alarm on the child's wrist through a watch. If that watch gets wet, an alarm go off. There's also alarms you can put in the pool itself, sort of like a little saucer type thing that the water has been disturbed. The perception is, you know what, if something happens, it's loud, I'm going to hear it. It's actually not. It's really pretty quiet. And a child, you know, the water is pretty. There might be toys left in there. Set up as many barriers as you can before that child reaches the final destination. And finally, the maintenance of the pool. When you're done at the end of the day, take the toys out. If it's an above-ground pool, remove that ladder so the child doesn't have access. Make sure that gate is locked. And the maintenance of the water itself. Often we have situations where there has been a drowning and the water was not maintained, so you could not see the bottom of the pool. So for any families that are out there that decide, you know, that you're going to use grandmom's pool, please set up these barriers, use these guidelines. You know, ultimately, any type of water can be fun, whether it's the wading pool straight to the in-ground pool. But, and also too, when you go on vacation, bring along the same safety smarts that you have in your backyard. If you're in a water park, you talk about hundreds of kids, 2 lifeguards, you got to be sitting there watching your kids while you're in that environment.
And, of course, obviously for everything else from firecrackers and the 4th of July celebrations to firing up that grill for the first time if the weather ever is decent enough, all of that is on your website.
It is www.cpsc.gov, and our toll-free hotline number is 1-800-638-2772.
So before you do, and you know what, I always think before I open up, before I get out of bed in the morning, I should be, logging in and making sure that I'm not going to, do something to myself. But from the minute you get up in the morning till the moment you go to bed at night, they are looking out for you. The Consumer Product Safety Commission. So as you're getting ready for more summer fun and water fun and all of that, go to the website, cpsc.gov. That's cpsc.gov for anything that we have discussed today. And of course, that toll-free number, 1-800-638-2772. And here is where I say thank you to Mary Ann McGurty Sieber. She is a product safety investigator with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great and safe summer.
And the same back at you. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.